Hello, this is Brad Wickman, and we have gone high tech, have we not? We talk high tech. We talk about fishing rods, and actually, we just said crappie fishing's gone crazy a little bit about high tech stuff. And so tell us your name, your position, and we'll visit about that.
Yeah, so my name's Kent Driscoll, and I'm the pro staff manager for B&M Poles. And been doing that about 20 years, so been around this sport of crappie fishing, have really seen it change. And the past 5 years is just, man, it's been kind of crazy, you know, with all the changes with forward-facing sonar and the amount of technology, you know, that we have now. It just seems like there's so many different ways to catch crappie, and there's no wrong way, you know what
right.
I mean? And I still like the old school fish too. I still like slip float fishing, and I still like casting the brush piles, but I like the live scope too.
Right.
And I mean, look at the boats we're using now. I mean, you know, used to we all, the majority of us ran aluminum boats in the kind of back in the old days, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And we'd you know, set them up for trolling and put our spider rigs out the front and put eight poles out. And man, now it's just gone crazy. And, we've watched the sport grow, and the cool thing is, you know, from B&M's perspective, is we try to make a pole for every technique.
Right.
And, you know, when a new technique comes out, we're on top of it. And we've got pro staff guys that, you know, are constantly feeding us ideas.
Right.
And they're saying, hey, you know, we need to come up with this pole. This is what it, you know, this is all the features and benefits this pole has. This is the
right.
The sensitivity it needs to have, the tip action it needs to have. It needs to have this kind of backbone. We need these type of guides. We need this type of handle. And I tell you, man, we've just really seen it change in the past 10 years. And, you know, the cool thing is it's still fun.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, there's no wrong way to catch a crappie. And there's a million different ways to catch one. And I'm kind of that guy that I'm kind of a jack of all trades.
Right.
You know, I'm not really, really good at any one thing.
Right.
Crappie fishing. I like to pull crankbaits. I like to shoot docks. You know, I like to live scope. I'm better at casting with a live scope than I am like dead sticking them, you know, chasing
right.
them down with one pole, long pole, and holding it on them.
Uh-huh.
You know, I like to wade fish. You know, I wade fish in the spring. But, you know, we're going into the summer right now, and we've got that ahead of us. And then, obviously, the fishing's really good. And then the fall, you know, we'll transition to that fall zone, and that's kind of – what, you know, I think we're talking about today.
Yeah, kind of in that the end of summer, or
yeah,
summer,
yeah.
End of summer, and people are starting to.
The cool thing is, I mean, is we catch them year round now.
Right.
So, you know, I love that time of year. I'm kind of over all the heat, you know, I'm kind of
right.
over all of the recreational traffic. You know, I welcome the cooler temperatures and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the hot part of the summer, people are. It's a little more congested out there.
Oh,
so.
Gosh, man. You know, I live in Nashville.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So just imagine, you know, every, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry that has a pleasure boat.
Oh, my gosh.
A wake boat, a jet ski, a yacht. I mean, we've got houseboats, you know. There's a lot of big houseboats, you know, on Percy Priest. But my fishing down there is fantastic, and I've
right.
just got to put up with it, you know.
Right.
And, you know, we're all – out there having a good time, we're enjoying our day on the lake, and you just got to kind of work around the pleasure boat, or so to speak. You know, it's not like when you come down here to Mississippi, like Grenada or somewhere, and you might go all day and not see a ski boat.
Right.
I see 100 a day.
So let's talk about different rods. So
okay.
One that we use today, the Ultima, which was I'd never fished with that one. Oh
right.
My gosh, what a rod tip that thing has.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a little bit about rod construction.
Okay.
And let's use the Ultima because that was very popular. Like
yeah, so we redesigned that pole, and we've got an 8, 10, and a 12-foot version of
really?
The Bucks Ultimate. Yeah, and we put a wind grip on it, so it's actually got a golf grip on it.
Oh, my gosh. That's
Did you
nice.
Notice that?
Yo,
yeah.
It's great.
So,
yeah.
You know, the thing about a wind grip is and a golf grip in general is the feel part of it.
Uh-huh.
It's got a textured handle to it. When you sweat, or if it's raining, or even when it's, you know, like cold outside and you've got to wear gloves, that grip kind of sticks to your hand, and it gives you that little bit extra feel. It gives you that extra hook set. You know, the pole itself is a two piece, but all three sizes are a two piece pole.
Yeah.
It's kind of the 8 foot is almost like a buggy whip.
Right.
And, it's got a little bit larger guides on it. It's got a really, really soft tip action.
Right.
And, it's more, it's not an ultralight, but it's more of like a, you know, medium light action is how I would describe that pole. But man, it's got a great feel, like casting, you know, two jigs or something like that.
Right.
Like 2 16th ounce jigs or casting like a 1/8 ounce jig or a 1/4 ounce jig. Man, it's got really good feel. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times these fish, you know, they don't inhale it. You know, they don't like knock the rod out of your hand. They just barely grab it, you know, swim up to it and close their mouth and just kind of suck it in, you know, kind of like a timid kind of bite. And when you're using an ultralight or, you know, a lighter pole with a lighter action, you'll feel those bites and you'll catch those fish. So that's a killer setup. It's one of our best sellers. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
And real quick, the 12-footer, how is that towards the tip? Is that more a stiffer rod then?
Yeah. Because,
really?
Yeah, the length, the bucks, you know, in the 12-foot version, yeah, it's a little bit, it's got a little bit stiffer action than, say, like the 8-footer does. And the 10-foot's kind of middle of the road right there.
Right.
But yeah, it's just the ultimate is an all-around rod. I mean, you can go either way with it. You can pitch with it, you can cast with it, or you can dead stick with it. You know,
right.
It's really kind of your, you know, personal preference. Mm. And, you know, the funny thing about fishermen is if you ask 10 fishermen the same question, what's your favorite rod and why, you're going to get 8 or 9 different answers.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, I know you're the crankbait king, you know.
Yeah, I like
crankbait.
Pinko,
yeah, dude, yeah, you're the pinko king, right?
We'll talk about that for a second.
Well,
but we'll get to that. Let's get through the ultimate because that was a rod that was super, like, I think if someone picked that rod up, they'd be quite surprised of how nice that rod is.
Yeah, but, and it's a light action, like I mentioned, so it doesn't weigh nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even know you're fishing with it, basically.
So you talked about being a pro staff manager and, you know, John Godwin.
Yep.
Look at that. So how difficult is it to deal with someone that catches so many fish? Like, go, hey, John, how many fish you catch today? Knowingly, the answer is a limit. Every day you ask them a limit. You want one day to go, one short.
Fortunately with John Godwin, he's so easy going, man.
You know,
he's such a great fisherman, but, you know.
Always the limit, dude.
And he can back it up. He's that guy, you get in the boat, and he's kind of quiet, you know.
Right.
And he's that guy that, you know, that's sneaky. He's like that sneaky good fisherman. He's not gonna like poke his chest out and kind of be bragging like we're catching limits today.
Right.
No, he's gonna go out there and produce it and show you.
So you got John, then all of a sudden you're like, hey, let's, and he had talked to you guys about building a rod. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so you know, John's he likes the live scope and he likes to pull jigs too.
Yep.
And but, you know, he guides down on Darbone and in Caney Fork, you know, down there around the West Monroe area.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of casting. And he just, you know, he came to us and he's like, man, I've got an idea for, you know, a casting pole. And I really want a 7.5-footer. And I want something that's got a super soft tip with a lot of backbone.
Right.
And I want oversized casting guides on it. I want it to have a cork handle. I mean, he had all these ideas. I mean, he had been working on this and you know, for a while, saying this is what John Godwin wants.
Right.
And we're like, all right, so what do you want to call this thing? He's like, I want to call it the Godwin's Crappie Cast. And I'm like, all right, I'm smelling what you're cooking here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we he gave us all these, you know, ideas. So we went to the drawing board and we went out and produced a couple of rods, you know, and we didn't get it right the first time, you know, and it's kind of rod buildings. It's like, you know, it's one of those things.
Like baking a cake.
Yeah, dude, you got to do it over and over, man. And you got to be willing to say, hey, I messed this part of it up and I got to start over. But, you know, we came up with several prototypes and we kept giving them to him. And he's like, man, if I put my name on it, I want it just right. It's got to be made to my spec.
Right.
So we just kept, you know, working with him and kept making all these different improvements. And, you know, it's got a really cool hook keeper on it. Okay.
Right.
If you look where the hook keeper is on that rod, it's got that cork handle. It's just got some really cool benefits. And
but it's the rod tip compared to the, say, the 75th anniversary rod, right?
Yeah, so there it's similar to the 75th, right. But the rod tip's a little bit lighter, and it's faster.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to be able to cast, you know, long distances accurately. And then, you know, he just wanted something where he could feel it when they tick it, you know, a light type bite. And, right. Man, I tell you what, we're selling a ton of those things.
I'll bet you are.
We are. I mean, you know, we put his face on it, obviously. We put his name on there. And he's just done a fantastic job, you know, working with us and putting it out there on social media. And, you know, he's just got such a huge following that, you know, people are just – they want to come fishing with him. And then they get in the boat, and they get to fish with his rod. And next thing you know, he's selling them a couple of rods. And it's been like a perfect partnership for us. You know, he's been with us, you know, for a long time. And we've got also got a Duck Commander line of rods that, you know, we developed with the Duck Commander team.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was this rod was kind of a spinoff of the Duck Commander line. And we just put his name on it and his picture and his image.
And then you have a combo, too, of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it comes, you can buy it as a just a regular rod, or you can buy it as a combo with a reel. He wanted it to be under $100 with the reel. Right. So it's real affordable, and it's got a nice reel on it. It's got an oversized spool, so it holds a lot of line. It's got a really good gear ratio. It's got a good feel, great drag system to it. And it's just been super successful. And, man, we appreciate everything he's done to help us.
Yeah, Jack's like, Brad, you got to have the reels. You got to have the reels. This is, like, perfect for you.
Well, and if you look at the rod and the reel, it's kind of like, you can tell that he wanted the graphics to be the same colors. You got black, red, and gold graphics on the reel and on the rod. And he was adamant about that. He's like, man, I want this thing to look like a race car or something super fast, you know, and cool. And, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, like a Trans Am. Like, you know, when we were a kid, you wanted that T-top Trans Am with a 6.6 liter engine, you know.
That's right.
And, so we had a good time working with him. And man, that's just been a really big success for us.
So we talk about trolling. And of course, you have rods that are built just for power trolling.
Yeah, we do.
And a complete line.
Yeah, and you know those rods were developed, and the idea came from Les Smith.
Uh-huh.
And we've always called Les. You know, his nickname is Big Guns Les.
That's right.
And he wants it fast and nasty.
Right.
And, he wants a lot of rods out. He wants to go fast. He wants to fish with big baits and heavyweights and go really fast. Yeah. And, you know, it all comes back from his dad, you know, Mr. A. Smith. You know, he was such a great ambassador for the sport of crappie fishing. Back in the day, Mr. A. had cane poles. He'd put an 8-ounce railroad spike on for a weight and tie 5 jigs on it and take off trolling. And he'd wear us out back in the day. Yeah.
And he went catching. He didn't go fishing.
Oh, no, he was catching, dude. Yeah. He was catching the whole way. He was filling those coolers up. And, you know, we nicknamed Mr. A. And he told me one day, the term, I said, Mr. A, what are you going to do today? He said, I'm getting out the big guns.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he called his rods, the big guns. We were like, you getting those big guns out? He's like, yeah, them 20-footers. And
that's
like,
so cool.
God. So anyways, Mr. A kind of got it started, and then Les was like, hey, man, you guys got to take the Pro Staff, the B&M Pro Staff trolling rods, which are super popular. We sell a gazillion of those things, and y'all got to beef them up, and we need to call them the power trollers. And we need to be able to push 3 and 4 ounce weights with these power trolling bowls.
Right.
And once again, man, we kind of went back to the drawing board and we mocked up, you know, some samples. We gave them to Les. He tried them. He told us, you know, what we need to improve and how we need to fix them. And, you know, if you look, like, for example, something that's different on that pole is the handle. At the very back of that handle, it's got a V-groove in the back about 2 inches up from the butt. Uh-huh. And that groove sits in your rod holder. Okay, and it's and that groove is actually made, you know, that's an aluminum insert that's stuck in there. It's a V groove, and that V groove sits in your rod holder, so it doesn't dent the handle of your pole because you're putting so much force on it.
Yeah.
When you've got a heavy weight and you're pushing real fast, it'll actually wear your
rod handle.
Yeah, your EVA foam handles. It'll just wear that foam out. And so, you know, that was a big thing for Les that he told us. You know, he wanted a longer handle so it fit real nice in the cradle. Of the rod holders, like a Driftmaster, a Millennium type rod holder. You know, he wanted a tip on it that was an orange tip. He wanted a stiff action. He wanted zero bend in that rod, basically, all the way from the back to the front.
Right.
And, yeah, it's crazy, man. And then he told us, too, and this is really smart of us, he said, hey, you guys got to beef up the eyes. These eyes, they got to be extra heavy wrapping.
Right.
They got to be an extra heavy material because what happens is, like when you wrap the rods up, you've got that big weight up there, and that weight will kind of beat up against your rod.
Yep.
And like when you're transporting them and stuff like that, your rods start vibrating, and it'll actually dent your fiberglass and kind of beat your rod up and knock the eyes off of them.
Right.
So, yeah, so we had to just be really, really strategic in how we put those rods together. And we just came up with the perfect power trolling rod, and those things have taken off. And now we make those in 14, 16, and 18-foot lengths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that – takes us, actually, we'll just talk about Les's, take us to the back of his boat. So he's kind of transitioning over to using some planer boards. I use planer boards during the summer. That's
right.
What I troll with, take people out and guide and take them out. And so I use a different type system than what he uses.
Okay.
But I'm going to probably get a couple. He's using some gunners for his planer boards.
Yeah.
Right now. So you have people that are, you have some people that are using the gunners, then you got people using Sam Heaton, and then you have someone like me that is, we're in a super clear water.
Yeah.
And so we let a lot of line out. So we need some forgiveness, but a lot of strength. And so we're using
Les is still running the big weights. His church planer boards, and typically what he's doing, he's putting a 2 to 3 ounce weight just above where his barrel swivel is.
Yes.
And it's about 3 feet from the top jig and then 5 feet from the bottom jig. And Church Tackle makes these little clip-on weights. They make them in 1, 2, 3 ounce weights.
Yeah, a little sleeve that fits through the line.
He clicks them. Yeah, he clips them on the line right in front of that swivel. And what that allows you to do, and I know you're a crankbaiter, is you don't have to have as much line out between the planer board and your bait.
That's right.
Okay. Yep. And versus, you know, we traditionally would cast a crankbait out, you know, 50, 60, 100 feet, then clip the board on, right?
Right.
Less than doing that.
Yeah. And he's still.
So he's kind of take the power trolling that he's doing off the front of the boat and moving it to the back, but he's adding the planer boards.
And
those planer boards swim out away from the boat. And now, if you think about it, he fishes 18-foot power trollers off the front. So add 18 and 18 is 36, plus the front of his boat 6 feet wide. There's a 42-foot sweep out the front.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the back, and he'll set the inside board at about 50 feet. Then he'll set the middle board at 75, and then the other board at like 100 feet. Next thing you know, you're covering over 200 foot of water.
Right.
And you know as well as I do from pulling crankbaits, a lot of times when you go over those fish originally, right over the top of them, they go out away from your boat, and then they kind of drift. They slowly kind of drift back in behind you.
And towards the end of the summer, on reservoirs like Beaver Lake, when they go out, they stay out. And
you
only catch
water.
Them on. Yeah,
right.
We got clear water down here. It doesn't have. So you're catching the fish on the.
Right.
You just catch them on the boards.
Yeah.
Like you'll never catch them on the thing, but. So he's using the gunners for that because he's also using 3 ounce weights on
exactly, and the gunners are a catfish rod,
right?
So he's taking a gunner.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I tell you what though, it's kind of funny, man. You know how many guys that cross over between catfish and crappie?
Yeah.
So you got guys that'll take these gunners and they'll
now
go
there.
They'll go, you know, go pull boards with them, and then they'll take them and just load them down with a 2 or 3 ounce weight and catfish with them. You know,
right.
As long, you know. Bump with them or drift with them, whatever they do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crossover there. So, but you got to have that heavy duty rod with those 2 and 3 ounce weights.
That's right.
And So
some of us have used the Sam Heaton rod.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pull planers because, like say on Beaver, using just the rods that just have planer boards,
right?
TX12, church planer boards.
Yep.
So you don't need the beef. On it, you need the height to keep the line off the water.
And you need that tip action.
You need tip action,
but not
it can't be too much. And so I've picked up every catfish rod you guys have. So the gunner is you could mix that over to the side if you wanted to. So that can be done, but that's what we're hoping for is for them to come up with the new trolling crappie trolling.
Planer board.
planar rod.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
talking about it. So
yeah, you need to be talking about it.
I know.
Just keep in touch with me. I'll help you. We can.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what we do. I mean, yeah. We just, when we develop a rod, we've got to put it in the hands of fishermen that know how to use it.
Right.
And that, you know, the guy that is really like dialed in and he knows exactly what the features are. You know, he knows the pros and the cons, and, you know, he can really help you develop the right product the first time. Because it's expensive, man. If you think about it, I mean, you know, we're importing all these rods, so we got to go, you know, to talk to China and say, hey, man, this is what we need by the time it gets here, and you got shipping costs and the amount of time and effort and then, you know, get into making the packaging and all these different things. It's expensive to, you know, create a rod, basically, and go, you know, full market on it. So, you know, that's why we get guys like yourself, guys like Les Smith, you know, other pro staff guys. That's why we get those guys. And, you know, we try to work as hard as we can to develop the right, you know, the right product the first time and then tweak it and, you know, hopefully go to market pretty quick with it.
Yeah. Keep this in mind. You're going to have two of them, the planar rods. So there's going to be two versions. There's going to be a heavy series and there's going to be a light series.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the light series is going to be for when you're using planar boards without a weight. And then the heavy series is going to be the that's going to be used with the one that has the weight. And so you can write that down here. I'll write it down on my sheet of paper because that's what you're gonna see because it's two different versions that are happening there.
Sure thing.
So tell us if you could give someone a tip for picking a fishing rod for crappie fishing, and let's just say we're one poling because that's very popular.
Okay.
What pole would you recommend?
You know,
and they're live scoping. Let's just get right to it.
I'm gonna ask them where they're fishing. Okay.
Okay.
All right. What lakes? What area of the country are you fishing in? Okay. Are you fishing for white crappie or are you fishing for black crappie?
Okay.
Are you fishing in clear water, dingy water, or muddy water?
Right.
So I'm gonna ask them, you know, 8 or 10 questions and try to get an idea of where they're, you know, where they're fishing and what they're doing.
Right.
And then I'm gonna try and match my recommendation with my rod to the conditions that they're fishing or the lake that they're on. You know, down here in Mississippi, for example, these fish are heavily, heavily pressured. We've got pretty muddy water most of the time. They don't like you to get too close to them.
Right. Okay?
When you're easing up on them with a trolling motor. So, you know, if it's a guy that wants a single pole, you know, dead stick, drop that pole right on their head, I'm going to tell them to look at the Black Diamond series, either a 16 or an 18 footer. Okay. That particular pole is it's a heavy duty scoping pole. It's made to boat flip these bigger crappie to manhandle them.
Okay? Right.
It's, you know, we've got it in a 16 or an 18 foot size and you can fish anything from like a 1/8 ounce jig up to like an ounce and a half if you want to. And there's different types of guys now that are scoping. A lot of these guys are taking these rods with like a 3/4 ounce weight and then putting a jig below it. And they'll drop their bait in the water, and they'll drive that bait to the fish.
Right.
They'll come up behind them, and they'll push that rod to them, almost like they're trolling, okay? Then there's a lot of guys that drop vertically and go straight down on them and try to get that bait right over the top of their head and then slowly raise it up and keep it above the fish's, you know, head so he'll bite it. So you really got to kind of feel out the person and feel out the condition, you know, and that kind of thing. So, you know, now, if you're fishing a lake that doesn't get a whole lot of fishing pressure, all right, and let's say it's got like a medium, you know, water clarity, you know, I would probably tell them to try out maybe the 14-foot diamond.
Okay? Right.
It's part of our diamond series that are 8, 10, 12, 14-inch lengths. They're super lightweight. They weigh about half of what the Black Diamond does.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's
and the handle is very ergonomic.
Yeah, it's got a split handle on it because that takes weight out of the handle. Okay. And you know when you're scoping like that, you know a lot of times you got guys that want to just hold a pole all day long and scope.
Right.
And those longer poles are heavy, man. So if you got if the conditions will let you get closer to these fish, you know I'm going to say, hey man, try this Diamond series out.
All right.
Now if you got like traditional jig fisherman, I'm talking about the old school guy that might live scope or he might not live scope, you know, I'm going to probably talk to him about it like an 11 or 12 foot jig pole, very traditional jig pole, like the Bucks Graphite, you know, the Sam Heaton series, you know, what I'm going to ask him, what kind of blank do you like? Okay.
Right.
What kind of handle? Do you want cork or do you want foam?
Right.
You know, you want a split handle. What is it, you know, that you want?
Okay.
We also make some rods that have a bottom reel seat at the very back of the pole. Okay. Uh-huh. Lets you reach out a little bit further. There are people that like a bottom reel seat type bowl.
Right.
So it really boils down to you kind of, you know, when you got a guy that comes in, you just got to kind of quiz him up and ask him exactly what, you know, what he prefers and what he likes. And then you try to match that to, you know, the pole, the style, the lake that he's fishing. You know, white crappie traditionally, you know, they're more, they have a tendency to get bigger than black crappie. They're more loner type crappie. They don't school like black crappie do. You know, most of the guys down here are going to want, if they're fishing for these big white crappie down in Mississippi, they want that big heavy duty rod.
Yeah.
But you come over to my neck of the woods and, you know, get around middle Tennessee and stuff, and guys, they don't fish that style that much. So you'd probably see them fishing more of a medium weight, you know, like a 10 to 14 foot, you know.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Jig and pole. So.
Well, that takes us to a Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, we talked about Pico crankbaits, and you can't go wrong with them. They got lots of colors. Colors that work really good down here in Sardis. It's been orange. Anything with orange in it, bone orange. We got orange tiger. Just any of those colors have been really hot. And also the pink glimmer, pink splatterback's been really good. So you can check them out. Plus they have a complete line of soft baits, and also they have the Scope Eye jig head for you guys that are going out scoping. So check them out at picolures.com. The Fishing Guide Podcast is also sponsored by B&M Poles. Of course, they have a complete line of rods for crappie fishing. They have so many crappie fishing rods, it's insane. You have to check those out. But they also have rods for catfishing. They got rods for trout fishing, saltwater, you name it. They got a rod that you can go fishing with and catch fish with. So make sure you check their rods out and all their products at bnmpoles.com. If they want to find out more about B&M Poles, where would they go?
Yeah, just www.bnmpoles.com. Check us out. We've got a great website. We've also got social media pages, Facebook, and Instagram and so forth. We're on TikTok as well.
All right.
And just come check us out. And we got a lot of pro staff guys that are out in the field. Look our guys up. And, you know, if you need some help, we got a lot of guys that guide. And then we got a lot of guys that tournament fish too. So, you know, we try to be, you know, the company that just gives us our customers great customer service. And, you know, when we have people call in and say, hey, you know, I'm new to this, you know, what do I need to do? A lot of times we give them a pro staff person and say, hey, why don't you call this guy? He either guides or fishes in your area, and he can help you out. So we do a lot of that too. Yeah, a lot of teaching and training.
There you go. All right. Sounds good. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp. Lures in the water.